welcome to I'll Bring the Bible with Mel
and Monica.
And today we have a special guest, Cindy. But Monica was making an observation before we begin, and she wanted to let our audience know what she observed.
I'm noticing today that out of the three of us, only two of us are wearing reading glasses and one of us isn't. I wonder who that might be that has perfect eyes, whose doctor just said, you don't have old lady eyes. Your eyes are perfect. 20/20.
Well, who was it? I wonder. Well, both Cindy and I are younger than Monica, so...
But you wouldn't know by by my vision.
That's true. So, yes, I decided I needed some after I was staring at my screen and the font was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So, what about you, Cindy?
Same thing. I really like to be able to see things when I put the reading glasses on. Everything is large and I enjoy that. So, I have no shame.
We do sound old.
We do.
You do. You do sound old. You do. Sad day. Sad day.
Well, after all that, Monica, do you want to introduce our special guest?
Well, of course. Today we have my dear friend Cindy Boggs. I invited her today because I've known her for years and years, and we've studied the Bible together for years and years. We actually met at a small group women's Bible study when she was not even 30 years old.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And now she's wearing the old lady glasses and I'm not. But anyway, and I just think she's got a lot to offer. She's written Bible studies. She's spoken at places. She's led groups and mentored people. So I thought she would just be a great person to talk to us about biblical womanhood.
Can you introduce yourself?
I'm Cindy. I am very excited to be here. I've really enjoyed your podcast so far and been encouraged by that. I love studying and talking about God's Word, especially with other awesome ladies. So I am just really excited to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. We're glad you're here.
Cindy, would you like to tell us some Bible study methods that you use or how your Bible study has evolved over time?
Well, I noticed in one of your previous podcasts, you both mentioned that you maybe didn't always love to study in school, and I was a little amused by that. I think that I supplement you guys very well with that because I have always loved to study, and I also love to study the Bible. So I know you mentioned...
Cindy's a smarty pants, girls.
Well, so I've been mocked significantly for this. One of my husband's favorite stories from college was before we started dating, he was trying to find some opportunities to maybe hang out with me a little bit more. And one Friday night, he came down looking for a partner for Euchre, and I was in my room studying. And he thought, what could you possibly have to do on a Friday night already in college? And he took what I was working on out of my hands and found that I was working ahead in the syllabus probably like 2 months.
Wow.
And I said, but they gave me this whole syllabus and I can just work and study and I love it. And he said, put it down. We are going to play cards. And he still asked me out after that, which is awesome. Wow. So yes, I do love to study. I've always maybe loved to study a little bit more than I should. But I agreed with what you guys said about the Bible still being very different, very special, and the most important study in my life. And so how I study, I think it's similar to maybe some things that you guys have mentioned before as well. Just looking at larger portions, considering the context and the background and so forth. I really like to listen to larger portions, you know, with my bad eyesight and whatnot, the reading. A little more
your
difficult.
Your ears are still working?
My hearing is still okay at this point in my life, but I really enjoy getting that flow by hearing that and just being able to listen and take that in and then focus in on pieces and dive in more depth as you kind of get that feel of the whole. So we've led Bible studies together. We've done a lot of Bible studies. I love those study guides and those questions and the time that people spend putting into those to come up with those great questions to lead you. But I've worked over time, you know, in my own personal study, I've been able to do that more and more without necessarily always having a guide. So if there's a book of the Bible that I want to look into, if there's something I really want to study, I've become better, not wonderful, but better at being able to ask myself those questions and even kind of write those out as a guide for maybe other people.
Cindy, when you talk with a younger Christian, what kind of tips do you give them to encourage them in God's Word?
I like to focus on just having them cherish those times that they're able to spend studying God's word and continue to just desire to do that and not have that guilt that's associated when you're not able to get into God's word. I think we definitely have different seasons in our life and times when we're able to spend more time in God's word or maybe less time. Mm-hmm. And just understanding that you're building biblical literacy and understanding God and what you're able to build in is yours then forever. It's not anything that you're going to lose. And I think you mentioned the savings account versus debit account mm-hmm. kind of view of Bible study. And I love that because it really is something that you're building over time. And so some days might be better. Some weeks, some months mm-hmm. might be better than others, but just continuing to have that desire and to do that out of love for God and not necessarily guilt or feeling bad when you're not able to get in God's word. The other thing that is huge is just get with your friends and mm-hmm. study together.
Yeah.
The encouragement, just sticking with it, the schedule, the routine of all of that is so much easier if you're doing that in community. I've seen some different things with people really struggling right now in the pandemic mm-hmm. with Bible study and getting into the Word. And I think they've really connected that to the fact that we're not maybe meeting as frequently. Yeah. We're not meeting in person as frequently mm-hmm. as we were before in that disruption. And so, yes, you're spending time individually in God's Word and you're using that time for Him to grow you. But also just studying and understanding and applying God's word mm-hmm. is done most effectively in the context of community.
Yeah, I've heard that where women have talked to me and said, I feel like I have less time now than I did mm-hmm. before, and yet we are spending more time at home. So there is a disconnect mm-hmm. there in studying the Bible and being home in this pandemic. And I also think mm-hmm. Anxiety and worry has a lot to do with that as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trying to drown those out with other things.
Yes.
One of the things that I really liked what you said was that the time that we spend in God's word that we have and we're cherishing it, it's ours. Mm-hmm. Nobody can take that from us. It goes back to that hiding God's word in our heart. You know, no matter your darkest time or your greatest moments, that no matter what you gain, what you lose in this world, but nobody can take that from you. Mm-hmm. And that's really cool.
Yes, that was an excellent point.
Mm-hmm. A few weeks ago in the podcast, we talked about Proverbs 31 woman. I know. We talked about her. And
it was hard for me.
But we learned a few things about her that yes. Made us love her that much more.
That's true.
So we think that she's a tough woman to live up to, though. Can you think of another passage that we can be encouraged by in our womanhood?
Yeah, I really like Matthew 28, 1 through 10. Some of these details are captured in each of the Gospels, but let me go ahead and just read this account mm-hmm. from Matthew. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'"
Wow. I love that passage of scripture. So how can we be encouraged in this when we're talking about biblical womanhood?
Well, I think we see throughout the Gospels, Jesus breaks with culture and the value he ascribes mm-hmm. to women
yeah.
in his earthly yeah. ministry. It's amazing, and it's such an encouragement. Mm-hmm. In this passage, he's honoring these women in the work that they're doing, mm-hmm. and he's entrusting them as part of his work. He's given them a job to do. He's given them a mission to go forth mm-hmm. and tell the disciples this information. I think a lot of times our work can be mundane or repetitive mm-hmm. or just not seem important, and that can be work that we're being paid to do or the 5 million things that we do that we don't necessarily get paid right. to do. Mm-hmm. And this passage and just throughout the Gospels, I think that we see that what we do really does matter. And we see that Jesus invites us, just like he did with these women, into the work that he's doing, and that we can have an eternal impact.
That's some good thoughts. I like that. How do you resonate with Proverbs 31?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Do you remember how in the last podcast I said, I don't want to wake up that early? Yes. I used to wake up that early, but I actually don't do that job anymore because it's too early.
My initial thought would be that it is something that I think I shy away from probably focusing on too much, but maybe just kind of thinking more of, I guess, just the other scriptures that kind of put that scripture into context for us, that you can't really just kind of take one thing and pull it out as kind of a standalone thing, but just kind of seeing God's love for women and like the value that he places on them throughout scripture, I think helps kind of put that into perspective.
It's giving examples of character traits, not necessarily a list of things to do. And I think that that's one of the things about Proverbs 31 that we can positively take away.
Yeah, it's interesting versus how I remember it being taught to me in school and in Sunday school. And now as a woman reading it and how much realizing that this isn't a list of things that we're supposed to be doing, but as a guideline or...
It's a motive. Right. What was her motive? The motive was that she feared the Lord.
Right.
And she wanted to honor him with her life.
Right.
But those kinds of things aren't explained in my ninth grade Bible class at Christian school. It's just presented basically, this is the way that you should be.
Right. It's a clear picture of reading an entire entire chapter in context.
Yeah. So we've been talking a lot about defining womanhood in our past podcasts. How do you think that studying the Bible can help combat defining womanhood the way the world does?
Well, I think the voices that we hear the most and what we choose to focus on is what is going to shape our identity and our behaviors. So if the primary voice in our lives is the God of Scripture, that's going to shape our identity and our behavior and our relationships. It's also going to help us if we have other voices that are entering to be able to discern and determine if they align with Scripture or not, and to be able to reject those things that aren't in line with God's word.
It's common that a lot of what is published and what is resourced to women is more focused on self a lot of times, or on how-tos, how to live better and what have you, how to feel better. And not that those things aren't valid, because they are, but I think that we really, when you invest in knowing the God of the Bible and seeing yourself in light of who he is and your creator, I mean, it's actually a much more richer knowledge of your own identity, because you're seeing yourself as who you are in Christ. And I think that it's just easy to get swept away by voices that may tell you how to feel good in that moment if you're not studying the Bible to see that you're, whether you feel good or whether you're having a really bad day, if it's your darkest hour or a shining moment, you are God's chosen daughter. And I just think that that's something that is missing a lot of times in our culture.
It's all over the place. It's on Instagram, it's on Facebook, it's constantly, it's the people that we follow on Facebook, all the women teachers and the preachers that we like, a lot of them put out things that are elevating self, and because that's what sells. And we get hit with it time after time after time. So a lot of it's about following people who will encourage you in the word and to stay in the word.
One of the things that I've noticed, though, in following a variety of people is that whoever the author is of what they're sending out there may be, what they're saying is really positive. It's really good. But we're receiving it in a way that's glorifying of self. And so that's another thing. If we are spending more time in God's word, those quotes may not necessarily be as self-lifting as we've made them, because we are living in light of the gospel. And I think it just helps put everything in the right perspective, and it gives you a a clearer identity of who you are to your Creator.
Mm-hmm. I think that also helps having those relationships where you're studying God's Word, because mm-hmm. your friends hopefully will be honest with you about things. They'll be an encouragement, but also that exhortation and conviction in your life. And it's always good things. It's always things that I need to hear and things that are relevant and important in my walk, but it's not something that I'm necessarily going to get from an author that's posting things online that doesn't know me, that doesn't know my personal struggles and how scripture really needs to be impacting me in that moment. So I think those personal relationships are important as well.
And I would say even the authors that are posting things most of them would tell you to get in community, mm-hmm. hash these things out in community.
Yeah, and most of the time, they're just little blurbs. So we often do that on I'll Bring the Bible. We'll get little blurbs, and some people will resonate with it, and some people don't. And they're only seeing a portion of someone's theology. There's no way that you can get somebody's total theology in a meme.
Right.
No way. Mm-hmm. We're all responsible to study the Word and mm-hmm. study it out and find and seek truth mm-hmm. in God's Word.
And have grace for one another who are in different phases of their journey with the Lord.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big part of it. I think, you know, when I learn something new from Scripture, I think everybody should know it and be excited about it. And people are like, meh, you know. So I just think that having grace in those relationships and studying hard things, and you may come to a different viewpoints, and that's learning from one another. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good point. Well, thank you so much, Cindy, for giving us your wisdom and your opinion. We really appreciate you coming onto our podcast today.
Thanks.
Now, we kind of want to move forward and talk a little bit about a current event that we just read about in Christianity Today. I didn't know this. Did you ladies know that Thailand has been the most effective country in curbing COVID-19 and in reducing the spread?
I did not.
Wow. That's impressive. Mm-hmm. What did they do?
Early prevention. They locked down the country and that reduced the spread of coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Go figure.
Huh. Wow. Like magic.
So I thought it was really interesting. I think that's really interesting that Thailand has been successful in that. So that has led to what the article says. It holds a record-breaking baptism despite COVID-19. And what an amazing story and a testimony for this church.
Mm-hmm. We've all noticed and commented, I think, that we've just talked about how awful 2020 is. But this is an example of stepping back and looking at what God is doing, mm-hmm. that God is using mm-hmm. this time of their lockdown to, toward the end, revealing himself in an amazing way by having all of those people make a testimony of faith in unison, which is an example of being united in the body of Christ. And so I think that that's just amazing. It's just an amazing testimony of all the positive things that are coming from this pandemic. And I think that we will see that on the end of all of this.
Mm-hmm. 1,435 people in a single day on September 6th. And it was live streamed too.
Wow. That's awesome.
Cool. That motivates me.
Just mm-hmm. imagine being there and observing all of that.
Holy moment.
A holy moment for sure.
My favorite parts of service are baptism and communion. I love baptism and communion, but I do not like those little communion cups we used last week.
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Cindy?
Yeah. Right. And, right. First of all,
with the wafer attached to the top.
Everything uh-huh. is stuck together in this wrapper uh-huh. that it's an all-in-one inclusive, like have your wafer on top. You got to peel it off, and then you got to peel off the lid for the wine, well, uh-huh. the grape juice. I'm not even sure it's grape juice. It kind of has a molasses tint to it. I'm not really sure.
I think it's been around for 5 years.
It's fermented.
Yeah.
So maybe it is wine. Anyway, I am so distracted by not being able to get the stupid thing open that I feel like I lose a little bit of my communion time.
I know. Did you do it this?
We did not.
But do you know what we're talking about?
I do.
What do you think? Do you like them or not? Yay or nay on the communion cups all in one.
She's probably too holy to be distracted by the
I was
going to
say, it's
wrapper.
Not as much of a distraction for me as I would guess it is for Monica, but...
She's known me for a long time.
It's a huge distraction for me.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I'm like, what do I do? How do I open it? And then I opened it wrong. And then I had to puncture a hole in it. And then it just did not work out. Then it's like, now I have to pray, but I'm too late because I've been fidgeting with this thing the whole time. Mm-hmm.
I try to start out at the beginning of service trying to get the wafer undone.
I know. That's what I did too. I had it open, like pre-opened.
Right. But then I'm distracted by my kids not being able to get it open on the side.
I'm more nervous when they pass the whole like thing of the cups with the juice in it that I'm going to drop it. That would be my bigger fear, probably, is dropping that on someone next to me.
No, yeah. I don't care about that. I just can't get it open.
Okay, this is American church problem. These people in Thailand are really doing it. They're baptizing. Mm-hmm.
They are.
So read the story. You can go on Christianity Today to read it. So thank you so much, Cindy, again for joining us. We really appreciate you coming on and giving, imparting to us your wisdom.
She's very wisdomous.
And remember, you can check us out. I'll Bring the Bible. We always try to post things that are uplifting and encouraging in the Word. Mm-hmm. So you can check us out on Instagram or on Facebook, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.